This is another friendly disclaimer that we are not professionals. We are two people trying to break down stigmas, and this often includes discussing medical and emotional stuff. We want to make sure you understand these are our experiences and not the experiences of everyone, and we encourage you to seek professional help if you feel you need it. We're going to have more episodes about finding help in the coming weeks. Enjoy the episode.
Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Sarah.
I'm Liz.
And this is the It's Fine, I'm Fine podcast. We are so grateful because we have received so many messages from so many different people, close friends, people that we've never met before, which is so humbling, honestly.
It's really incredible.
It's amazing. And some of the messages we've received, multiple people actually, have asked us to cover the topic of medication.
Whoop, whoop. Super glamorous.
Super glamorous. Super cool. And lucky for you, Liz and I are both... Are you still on?
No. We both have been are currently medicated.
Yes.
Which is super fun and exciting.
Super fun and exciting.
So I just wanted to, I know we included a disclaimer at the beginning of the episode, but again, like, I think the goal of this episode is just to kind of destigmatize medication. We obviously can't give people medical advice or talk about which medication is better. And it's actually interesting because Sarah and I have been on the same dosage of the same medication and we had completely different experiences. Mm-hmm. And I think the other interesting thing about medication is it doesn't have to be a lifelong thing. For some people, it is a lifelong thing. So there's just so much interesting research about medication and how it affects people differently and how different people need it at different times in their lives. So Sarah, do you want to kind of talk a little bit about like your journey with medication?
For sure. So I am excited to talk about this and try and help to remove the stigma.
Yeah.
Because I feel as though I always thought to myself that medication is never something that I would need or want for my mental health. It just, I was always taught medication is for a physical injury.
Right.
Which I think a lot of people are, and that's part of the stigma that we're trying to get rid of. But I think this episode, I hope, will be very informative and also like interesting for people that didn't know how common medication was.
Totally.
I don't think people know really how many people are actually on medication.
And I think a lot of the people who are on medication will find this episode to hopefully be comforting because they might still feel like they can't talk about it with a lot of the
or
people in
no
their lives.
Or that no one else is on it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the people who don't know that it's as common as it is still think medication equals very ill or
unable to complete tasks, unable to participate in normal things in life because, you know, if you can't exist without being on medication, how are you able to do other things?
Right.
But we're here to tell you that there's plenty of high functioning people on medication, and I think it's really important to just open that dialogue up.
Yeah.
But I definitely want to start with our peak and pit of the week.
Thank you so much for bringing that up. I'm going to keep forgetting.
Yeah. Same. I mean, one of us brings it up.
Last time we were like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Do you want to kick it off?
Yeah. So my pit of the week wasn't directly about me, but it was about my sister. I once spoke about my other sister and how she made a really beautiful post on Instagram, but I have another sister. And she's 7, and she's an incredibly special little girl. She was put in a class, I guess she's in second grade, with like none of her friends. So she's just having a little bit of a hard time because she was explaining to me over FaceTime that at recess, like, she doesn't have any of her friends. And there's two girls, like Sophie, and like they're best friends. And I'm like, Delia, you are literally the most extroverted, cool kid ever. But it's just hard when you have to like watch young children go through things that inevitably everyone goes through, like those feelings of being excluded or even bullied.
But it's so like her first experience.
Totally. And it's just like hard because you can say as much as you want to help them, but like they just kind of just have to go through it. My peak is interesting. It actually came from like originally a negative place, but I talk a lot about Lizzo and like how much I think she's doing for women everywhere, for people everywhere. She had a really interesting Instagram story where I guess she was talking about learning to love yourself. And for everyone who is watching her and admiring her, she seems to be demonstrating so much self-love. But she was so honest on Instagram about how, like, it's a journey and she's not going to let trolls ruin her day. And I thought that that was just so humbling of her, and it really stuck with me because it's like, wow, this person who is so confident, always talking about self-love, even she struggles with this. And while that's not like particularly happy, it was just something that stuck with me and resonated with me and made me realize like, this is all a journey and not every day is going to be perfect. And I think my peak for me was just feeling like so heard by someone I really admire.
That's great.
Thanks, Sarah.
I absolutely agree. My pit of the week was I teach yoga at work now on Mondays and Wednesdays, which is so awesome. Basically, I'm a certified yoga instructor. That was part of my like mental health journey and learning ways to cope with my anxiety was, you know, getting into yoga. And mm-hmm. then I became an instructor, or at least a certified teacher. And so they asked me to teach at work and I started doing it. And I, like, when I say I love my sleep, I mean, I count every minute as an important minute of sleep. And, you know, I started waking up earlier. It's not that much earlier, but I started waking up earlier to do yoga at work for people.
Yeah.
I don't get paid for it. You know, it's pro bono, but it really is because I enjoy doing it and I mm-hmm. want other people to experience the same type of benefits that I do. So we decided Mondays and Wednesdays in the morning before the workday starts. And I guess the pit is just that a lot of the people that originally asked me to do it just don't show.
Yeah.
So sometimes there's like two people that come, which is still amazing. And I'm honored that two people want to hear my voice for 40 minutes.
And come out early.
And come out early and like trust me to take them through a flow. Like it's, I love it. And like this one guy has come back every single week. And mm-hmm. I understand that he's like my friend, but like, he wouldn't come if he didn't, like, he's the type of person where, like, if he was not enjoying it, he would not show.
Yeah.
And he is always, like, that was awesome. He always gives me his very honest feedback. Like, when I first started, he was, like, I could be a little harder. And now he's, like, that was great. Like, I'm feeling tired. I'm sore. Whatever. And I think it was just a little frustrating for me because, like, so many people were excited about it. And even, like, the woman who organized the whole thing and, like, sends out the emails, like, she just like didn't show up. She doesn't show up. She doesn't tell me she's not coming anymore. And it feels like no one really cares. And it's just like, sometimes it hurts to feel like you're putting yourself out there and people don't want to, you know,
be a part of it.
Be a part of it.
Especially if they indicated previously that they were super
excited
about
and,
it. Yeah.
And I'm really, really, really trying to not take it personally at all and just say like, it's early. People don't want to get up before work. They don't want to sweat, whatever. But like, it's hard to not take it personally when you're like, okay, like you teach a yoga class and like people know who you are and they just don't want to come. Even people who are like, oh, I would have loved that. It's like, well then come.
Yeah.
But, you know, because this is in my nature, I'm going to turn that into a peak.
Oh, yeah.
And
positive opposites.
Yes. And the power of paradox. The peak of that is that I really do love teaching so much and it really just like brings me joy see people feeling more relaxed mm-hmm. because of something that I said or did. So that was the peak. And I just hope that I continue to teach and I hope that more people show up.
So I think a good way for us to start talking about medication is kind of to, at least for me, talk about like my journey with therapy and how I ended up on medication in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So quickly, when I was like 12 or 13, I have divorced parents. So I was splitting, like they were splitting custody between me. And when I was like 13, I was just so tired of that and like just done sleeping at a different parent's house and not having the clothes that I wanted or whatever. And I basically said to my dad, like, I want to come over for dinner and on weekends, but like, I don't know if I want to sleep over. And I think, you know, that's how I reflect on it. But I think my parents were a little bit concerned and they wanted to honor my wishes, but my dad was kind of like, you know, is this something about our relationship? Is it something about like my home that's uncomfortable?
Sorry to interrupt you. Did you all live in Philly?
Yes, okay. We did. Okay. We all lived in Philly and my parents lived like 15 minutes from each other, but it was just like such a pain.
Yes,
you know?
For sure. I just didn't know if he lived in Boston yet.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, both my parents lived in Philly at this time. I'm pretty close to each other. And so my dad, I think rightfully so, took it upon himself to invite me to therapy. I've talked about how my family is like pretty involved with their own mental health and like we're all in and out of therapy pretty often and it's helped us a lot. So he brought me and that was the first time I remember like seeing a therapist and it became clear that a lot of the things that I was experiencing that came out in my relationship with my dad were actually personal to me and that like I had anxiety and I was manifesting a lot of my, you know, anxiety in ways with my parents. So I ended up seeing that therapist and she referred me to a psychiatrist who helped me kind of evaluate, you know, are the things that you're feeling things that we can work on without medication? Are they things that might require medication with some supplemental help from a psychologist or psychiatrist? And it ended up being that I was diagnosed with, I think, clinical mild depression and anxiety, and that I would benefit from taking medication. And I think that this is a challenging topic to speak about because there's so many varying opinions about like how early people should be medicated, if at all. There's so many different things that can be happening with kids and they're, you know, they're prepubescent or they're going through puberty. And like, I'm sure there's so much literature on how do we like, what are the rules around kids who are taking medication? But my point being, I started taking an SSRI, which is a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor, which basically allows for the serotonin in your brain to remain in your brain. Like it stops it from being released and allows your brain to absorb more of it. Anyway, it's
essentially that's like the happy.
That's a happy drug, right?
The happy drug, not the happy drug, but like
the ones that can help you regulate your emotions.
What is it called? The one with the S?
SSRIs?
No. What's
serotonin?
Serotonin.
Oh, serotonin is the happy chemical.
The happy chemical
exactly.
In your brain.
Right. So I was on medication, you know, with varying dosage from age 13 to age, I want to say 21.
Do you know which one it was?
Yes. I think I started with Prozac and then for the following 6 years up until I stopped taking it, I was on Zoloft, which is, I know the Got medication it. That you take.
Yeah. We'll get into it because I've changed a few times.
Yeah, for sure. So I was always on SSRIs, but, yeah, and then we can talk a little bit more about like my journey with why I'm not on it anymore, but I kind of wanted to give like my medication origin story and I want to hear yours too.
Yeah, right now?
Yes, right now. Tell me. Yeah, no, the conversation will progress. It's okay. A dialogue.
When I first started feeling like I had anxiety, well, I didn't know what it was and I really didn't know how to classify it because I had never really heard people talking about it before. I just remember a lot of the anxious feelings that I was having were turning, like we spoke about last week, they mm-hmm. were turning physical for me.
Mm, yeah.
And when I was a senior in college is when the physical parts of it were getting really bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I let the anxiety inside of me build for a while because I really didn't know that there was a way to help it. And I remember saying to my mom, like, before that, I heard that one girl was on anxiety medication, and I was like, you know what, Mom? Like, I really think that this is something that would help me. But this was, like, way before I even thought about therapy. And she was like, I don't know. Like, medication? Like, you're so young. I don't want you to put something in your body. Like, that just – I don't think you need it. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And so I was like, okay, like, I won't go on the medication, but I know this one girl, and she says it helps. And I don't really know what anxiety is, but, like, I think I'm feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, when I was a senior in college, I was in a relationship that was pretty toxic and bad for my mental health. And deep down, I knew it wasn't good for me. But obviously, when you're in these kinds of relationships, it's really hard to get out, especially because at the time, my self-worth had lowered so much and I essentially had no self-esteem left. By the time winter break of my senior year came around, I had no self-worth left.
Sarah.
It was really, really bad, and I don't mean to laugh.
It's, like, uncomfortable.
It's really uncomfortable for me to even admit because, like, I'm on this podcast trying to help others, and the only way to do that is by being honest about my own experience. But, like, I truly just didn't understand what I was bringing to the world. Like, I just didn't see it, and, like, I had completely lost my self-esteem. And, like, my parents saw it in me, and they didn't know how to help. And I think that the person that I was with just felt like their insecurities were only made better with my need for their attention.
Mm, yeah.
So they continued to kind of manipulate me. And it wasn't like an equal relationship. It was like, I'm going to continue to manipulate this person and kind of like make this person feel like they need me.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want me to leave because they loved the attention.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously it took me a really long time to learn that. And I had never seen a therapist at this point. I had never really come to terms with my anxiety. But by the time I went back for my senior year of my second semester of senior year of college, I was at a very, very, very low point. Like the only thing that was really getting me through the day was the show Friends, which is why I love Friends so much because Like, I would just sit in bed and watch a season in, like, 2 days. Yeah. Like, it was just really the only thing that got me through it. And I kind of decided that I was like, I need to sit my parents down and say, I don't like who I'm becoming. I know myself, and I am a smiling, laughing, fun person, and, like, this is not me. I don't want to be sitting in bed all day, every day, like, sad about my life, because I have so much going for me. And, you know, I, you know, asked my parents if it would be cool, and they were like, yes, like, we see that you're not yourself, and we want you to get back to who you are.
Yeah.
So that's when I went back for second semester of senior year, and I started seeing a psychiatrist, and she was like, can you explain your symptoms to me? And I basically was just like, I wake up every day feeling like there is a heavy brick on my chest and on my shoulders that never goes away. I feel like I have a hard time breathing. In the middle of the night, I feel like I wake up in, like, panics, and I don't know why. I would wake up in the morning and not even know what happened.
Yeah.
But my roommates, because I lived in, like, small rooms in college, my roommates would be like, what's going on? Are you okay? And I was like, yeah. And they were like, you're not, like, really breathing, or you're kind of, like, waking up in panics. And it got to the point where, like, I was waking up and kind of, like, getting sick in the morning, like, actually ill.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't even think about anything. Like, it would just happen to me naturally. Yeah. And I was like, why am I so sick? And I realized it definitely was just tied to this, like, subconscious anxiety that I was living with, because I knew deep down that I deserved so much more, but I wasn't, like, able to see it. And this person that I, like, quote unquote loved was making me feel so worthless. And I don't even know if he knows all of this, but whatever. So I started seeing a psychiatrist, and she was like, I want to put you on Lexapro. Like, everything you've just described to me, you should be on an SSRI, which basically, like Liz said, helps with your happy chemical in your brain.
Right. It just helps to regulate it so that there's essentially more of it in your brain when it's lacking. Yeah.
And also, like, if you're imagining a straight line, that's normally, like, what people's, like, you know, people's levels are normally regulated.
Yeah.
Mine were, like, when I was happy, it was super, super, super high. And when I was sad, it was super, super
low. It's, like, off the chart.
And it was off the chart. And the levels were just so out of whack that this medication was kind of bringing me down to, like, a normal...
A level wave of emotions.
It was essentially just... It was bringing me back to a...
Bring you back to a good range. Normal emotional range.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So she put me on Lexapro, and... like, not to exaggerate, but my life changed, you know? Like, I don't know if it was the therapy, the talk therapy, the medication, or both. It was probably a mixture of both. But I was, like, myself again. I was finding my happiness again. And, like, honestly, second semester of senior year was one of the best semesters I ever had at school. I lived in my sorority house. I became closer than ever with my current roommates. Like, it was so amazing.
That's incredible.
And that's why I kept saying, like, I need to write a book, because I felt like I had this, like, epiphany, like, oh my gosh, I just talked about my anxiety for the first time, and, like, it changed my life. And that's why I was like, I need to tell everyone about this.
Hence the beginnings of the It's Fine, I'm Fine podcast.
Yeah. And so, yeah, sorry, that was kind of, like, a really long way to say that I started medication, and it really, really helped me.
But it should be long, because the story shouldn't be like, I felt anxious, I went to doctor, doctor gives me medicine. Like, that is not healthy. And that's also not, in my opinion, what good doctors do. Like, you should be working with someone who is constantly checking in on you. And that's a really important part of finding a therapist, which we're going to talk about, or finding a psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be just like, hand over medication.
Yep.
Check up in 3 months. And it's even, like, if it is like that, it's like, we need to evaluate what's going on for you, and not just, like, giving you a refill or giving you medication. Like, it's as annoying as it can be as a patient who needs a refill of medication, and you're just like, I just need to get my refill.
Yeah.
You should be speaking to a clinician about it, because medications can affect people really drastically and dramatically. And sometimes I know that medications might have the opposite effect on people that they're supposed to have. And it can be dangerous to not have someone regulating your medications for you.
Yeah, and sorry, just to add on to that, it's also like, if you, let's say you were feeling like you had an infection in your knee or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm touching my knee right now, which is why I'm saying that. But it's like, you would never go to a doctor and be like, my knee hurts, and they're like, got it, going to put you on 100 milligrams of this. It's like, they would be like asking you questions, they would probably be like playing around with your knee a little bit,
they'd be typing it up on the laptop, that's what they do now.
They would be asking you all the questions, like, they would evaluate you to best decide how to move forward. So I really loved that I had a psychiatrist that cared so much and was kind of just telling me every single week, even if she wasn't saying much, she was just saying, we're going to get through this. And like, yeah. I'm here to work with yeah. you. I was just like, oh my gosh, like this is, and part of my anxiety was feeling like such a burden on other people. Mm-hmm. So week by week, having someone just sit there, listen and be like, you are not a burden. I am here for you. It was like, that made all the difference. And you know, I am still on medication and mm-hmm. we'll talk about this, but I've gone through phases where I'm like, you know what? I'm chilling. I'm so happy with my life. Like I'm going to go off.
Yeah.
And it resulted in some weird feelings. I never, thank God, not thank God, thank me for the work I put in, but I never went back to that place that I first was at, which yeah. is amazing.
Yeah.
But I've had little glimpses of this like, so anxious.
Void, that depression,
yeah.
that anxiety.
Yeah, like I've yeah. had little like tiny glimpses of it. And you know, when you go off on medication where you've had something regulate your emotions for so long, it's really hard for me to come to terms with like, okay, well, the real me is someone that wants to cry like all the time, you know? Hmm. And I don't necessarily think that's because my brain is like everything's wrong. I think it's just because my chemicals in my brain are a little off.
Yeah. Hence why you need medication.
Yeah.
Right.
Now I feel like I've really found a medication that works for me, which is Zoloft. And
shout out to Zoloft.
How they get nothing.
They get nothing.
They pay for it. shout out at Debbie. But yeah. yeah, I think it's just really helped me. And I used to think to myself, like, I don't like that I'm on such a high dose. Like, I need to lower it. But then yeah. I was just on medication for no reason because the dose wasn't working. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if you're going to do it fully and, like, find something that works for you because it really can change your entire life and give you – you feel for the first time – like, I hate using the word normal, but, like, you feel, like, okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's interesting because medication helped me for so long. It helped so many people in my life. I mean – I'll talk about this more in the future, but my mom, she actually lost her brother to suicide. So her, like, yeah. So I just think that there are so many people whose lives could have been different from medication, whether they knew someone who hurt themselves or took their own lives, or if they themselves were affected by it, or if they're affected by mental illness. It just, like, can change so many lives, and it helped me. But I do also think that we are living at a time where I think medication can be prescribed too freely and like
totally.
To people who may just need therapy. I am such an advocate for therapy.
Yes.
Like,
oh my gosh.
And just talking to other people. And that's not to say, oh, no, you're fine. You shouldn't be medicated. That's not what I mean. My point is just we shouldn't throw it at problems. Like,
yes.
If you are someone like me or Sarah who has at one point experienced a chemical imbalance in their brain, you should be talking to someone and on medication, or mm-hmm. you should be talking to someone about that medication. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't just be, here's your meds, goodbye. Mm-hmm. I think that we're in a moment where people are talking more about anxiety, which is great, but people are also like ignoring the underlying effects of it.
Right.
Like whenever I have experienced panic attacks in my life, and drugs like Klonopin and Xanax can be such a lifesaver in those moments when you're just like, you feel like you can't breathe, like
yeah.
you cannot get out of it. And I firmly believe that you shouldn't have to deal with that. That's a chemical issue.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think like if it happens frequently enough, you need to know how to manage and regulate your body. Should you not have medication on hand? And should you be in a scenario where you can't get it?
Right.
Like, I know that when you're pregnant, you can't be on most of these medications. And that was a big consideration for me when later I decided to not be on the medication anymore. You have to understand that you can't necessarily always have access to this in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to have tools on the back burner.
Right. Like, as you're working,
yeah.
as you're medicated, you also need to be actively working on the underlying issue.
Exactly.
That's what's important here. The medication
right.
is not supposed to be like this fix all. It's definitely supposed to help, and it can definitely be a lifesaver. But
importantly, it helps people who really like whose chemicals in their brain are not working properly.
Yes,
like there
exactly.
are people whose like you were describing your college experience and like in my opinion, no one should ever live like that. There are moments when, of course, you experience general sadness. And if you're grieving the loss of someone, or you're grieving a relationship, or you're having a hard time, you should be experiencing
it. And it's healthy to feel the feels.
Exactly, which we can talk more about. But like,
sometimes when you're feeling the feels all day, every day,
and you can't, you feel like you don't belong in this world, mm-hmm. like you're not adding purpose. Like that is a like that is not supposed to happen in your brain. And that's one thing that medication can really help with. But I also need to work on it in therapy. It's not like a catch-all. Absolutely. It's just not. And
you have to do both.
You have to do both.
It's not really one or the other. I mean, sometimes it is just the therapy, but it's never, it shouldn't just be just the medication.
Yeah.
If you're on meds, like you really should be trying to like work through it because, you know, in my experience, like the meds help. But what has made me a happier, better person for the long term is dealing with the actual issues at hand.
Agreed.
And, you know, I'm super thankful for medication, but I completely, completely agree with you that they should not just be thrown at anything. And I don't believe that it's just like, oh, I'm anxious today. I need like a Xanax. It's
right.
Like, this is for like your way of life. This is when you are incapable of truly living your life for months or years, that's when you really should be like, okay, I really think I should consider this because you want to be able to live the best life you can. It's already hard enough when you have to go to work and da 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 da. And if you're already having this underlying feeling that like there's no hope, you know, there's ways to help it.
I think I do want to talk a little bit about why I'm not on medication anymore. And I want to say like I'm going to be careful when I say this, because one thing I really don't like is when I hear people say, oh, I felt better, so I stopped taking the meds. I think the point is that you feel better, and it's not like, oh, I'm stable now, so I need to go off meds.
That's been me, and it did not, it backfired.
No, it doesn't work. I think that choosing not to take medication anymore, like going on it, should be done in tandem with a therapist or psychiatrist.
And if you're going to go off of it, you have to really wean yourself off.
Wean off. Like you can't just, if you're taking 150 milligrams of Zoloft like I was, you can't go from 150 one day to zero the next. But I did choose to go off the medication because I felt comfortable enough in my journey with therapy to slowly wean off and see how I feel, because something that I experienced with medication, which was negative, was I felt like that range of emotions you're describing that like helped you was too narrow.
Yeah.
I was not able to feel very much joy or elation or happiness. And similarly, when sad things happened, it was very hard for me to cry. It was very hard for me to like really feel those emotions.
I've been going through that recently.
Yeah. And it's really a journey, which is why I think like it might not even be the answer, oh, I should go off the medication. Maybe I should switch. Maybe I should
lower the dose. There really are pros and cons to the medication. And like we said, it's not just like a fix all. Like it's really important to weigh the pros and cons of it, because although it stabilizes your emotions, like it definitely can, you know, stop you from really feeling emotions.
Yeah. That balance is important. Mm-hmm. Actually found a couple of months after I stopped taking my medication, I was able to cry more. And sometimes I am alarmed by like, I do cry at a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder and work with my therapist about like, is this something that I need to manage through medication, or is this something that I can manage with your help or with my own like self-dialogue? But I have just found that for me, I am not currently on it, and I feel good.
In addition to what we've been saying, it's also important to know that there's two types of medications, and there is the anti-anxiety medication, and then there's the antidepressants.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are like, antidepressants? Like people don't like using that word because it just like seems so like big and bad.
Spooky.
Like literally. But what's cool to know is that antidepressants really, for lack of a better word, attack the bad thoughts in your brain over time.
Yeah.
Where anti-anxiety medication is more like instant.
Fast.
Like I'm having a panic attack, I'm going to take my anti-anxiety medication. I've always been on antidepressants because it attacks your anxiety over time. And so for me, that has been super, super helpful because I've been able to like get my groove back, know who I am again, like find my happy moments. And I've had my sad moments too. But it allows me to have my sad moments, but know that it's not the end of the world, which is like so important, because I am that girl that like says that like there's beautiful moments and sad moments, you
know?
So
there are.
There are. And like,
we're sad bitches over here.
Yeah. It's cool that like you can be sad and talk to your friends without thinking that like the world's over.
Do you ever look in the mirror when you cry?
Oh no,
that's just me. I'm so narcissistic. It's a weird thing where
beautiful.
I don't do it every time, but sometimes when I'm crying, I look in the mirror and I notice myself doing that. It's like a kind of healing thing to do sometimes, in my opinion. I don't know. I would really be curious to hear like what the listeners think about that and if that's something anyone else has done or if it's just me being classic Instagram influencer narcissist biatch. But anyway, I think there's beautiful moments in the sadness too, but I think what medication can help us with is like making sure that that we can capture those beautiful moments mm-hmm. when we're in it. We need to be able to like sit in sadness and understand that it's going to get better and not sit in sadness thinking it's never going to change.
Yes.
It's only going to get worse.
Yeah.
I'm going to be in this forever.
That was the key thing for me. The key advantage to medication for me was less about like not feeling the feels and more about just like having hope for the future.
Yes.
And kind of just feeling like I was back to being myself again.
I can't say this enough also, and this has not so much to do with medication, but like depression and sadness are not the same thing.
They're not the same thing.
Sure, when you're depressed, maybe you cry more frequently, which is also associated with sadness. But for me, like when I was depressed, I didn't even cry. I was just like mm-hmm. nothing. Mm-hmm. It felt like nothing.
Same.
And that's why depression is so hard and scary because it's you can't describe it to people who haven't been depressed because it's you. People
you
only think of it as, oh,
it.
You're sad. Why are you sad? It's like, no, I'm not sad. If I was sad, I would see that beautiful moment.
Mm-hmm.
But this depression is like a weight on me.
You don't even see.
Those commercials, as like silly as they are, were really true, like the cloud
mm-hmm.
over you. You just can't see the end of it. And I think what medication and what therapy can do for people is like helping you to see the end of it, to make that range of emotions more of a range and less of like just a valley.
Mm-hmm.
That's like really what depression is. It's just a valley without being able to see the peak of the mountain mm-hmm. on the other side.
When I first started seeing a therapist, like a lot of my friends were like, I just don't get it. Like, I want to know, like, what are you experiencing? Like, I just want to know. And I wrote a journal entry, I guess you would say.
Are you Taylor Swift?
Yeah, you know that song 15? I wrote that.
That you wrote that.
Yeah.
That is so crazy.
I know.
Famous song.
I know. It's crazy. I actually wrote 17.
Is that a song that you
no.
actually wrote? Oh, okay.
No.
That's just a spin on. Got
yeah.
it.
So, because like I don't want to take credit for her work, Trigger. So, I actually wrote a page in like a journal and I was just like, it feels like I'm in this dark box and there's like a ladder, or no, sorry. I'm in a dark box and there's an opening to the box and there's like a light shining through, but there's just like, it seems like there's no way for me to get from the dark box to the opening.
I see.
And I always would describe it as like, it feels like all of my family and friends are like waving to me from outside the box, being like, we're right here. Like everything's totally fine. Like we're right here. And I was just like, I see you and I feel you, but like, I can't reach you.
There.
Like I can't get there. That's how it felt for me. I want us as a society to be able to use the words depression and anxiety, not as like a, ooh, they're depressed, but like, okay, this is what this person's going through. We're talking about it so that we can better understand it, so that as a community, we know how to support one another.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want it to be like, oh, that person's depressed.
So
like,
scary.
When I was depressed, like, you probably wouldn't have even noticed that big of a difference in me, other than the fact that like I didn't really feel like doing much, and
right.
I was like Liz said, I wasn't like running around crying. I was just kind of mopey and was internalizing a lot of my thoughts. I really had no hope for the future, but I wasn't like, I'm still going to class, I'm
right.
still going to parties, like
yeah.
I was still myself. And you probably would have been like, what, you were like that depressed? Like, I lived in a sorority house with 30 girls and no one knew.
Yeah.
So
I also think there's probably a lot of people who they don't talk about it and their depression gets even worse, in the sense like they stop going to class, they stop participating
mm-hmm.
in normal conversations. One thing I always hear about when I'm hearing about experiences of depression is like hygiene goes out the window. Just like small things that are
mm-hmm.
so normal for people will go out the window. You are an example of someone who thankfully was able to heal, and
mm-hmm.
so many people can't. And I think having these conversations will open the doors
right.
for more people.
Because the way to heal is by all it takes, not all it takes,
push
but
the
like,
lid off the box.
Push the lid. And also like when people would look at me and say like, I know you don't believe me, But this will get better.
Yeah.
I'm not going to try and convince you. I'm not going to tell you that you're going to end up with this guy. And I'm not going to lie to you and say that everything's going to be better tomorrow. But what I do know is that this will get better. And people just telling me that was like, it was the world to me, you know?
I think when I'm thinking of your metaphor with the box, like, I'm imagining medication as like the ladder. Like, mm-hmm. the medication is someone's pushing a ladder to you.
A little push to get you through.
And yeah. they, like, they prop you up on, the medication props you up onto the ladder. You have to climb the ladder, but you yes. see the way out. Like, that's what medication can help
the
you with.
The ladder is dropped. You have to actually use your legs to get up.
Whereas before, you didn't see the ability to get out of the box.
Beautiful.
Thank you. I'm very good with metaphors. I also want to say, like, how I was talking about how medication can sometimes be thrown around, like, thrown at a problem. I also think, interestingly, what you're saying with being able to open the conversation about anxiety and depression, I think people overuse those words and they misuse them. Like,
completely.
Oh, I have anxiety. Like, maybe you're just...
You can be anxious.
You're anxious. You're nervous. You might even have anxiety. But maybe in this moment, that's not the word that is needed for the situation. Mm-hmm. It's like over-talked about and misrepresented.
Absolutely.
I think everyone is constantly saying, oh, I have anxiety. Oh, I have anxiety. And are we in an anxious time? Undoubtedly. Do people have anxiety? Yes. But I think...
The social media ad to pay?
Oh,
yes.
Oh, that too. But I just think it's funny. There's, again, the power of the paradox. It's like we need to talk more openly about the serious anxiety and the real depression, but we also need to not just be like, oh yeah, like maybe I'm anxious because like I hear about it all
mm-hmm,
the time.
Mm-hmm.
No, like this is why therapy is important because it can help you evaluate, is this
right.
anxiety normal, like a normal level of human anxiety, or is this like, mm-hmm. Do I maybe need to be treated? Am I in that box? Can I not see the way out?
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the important
right.
distinction that I think needs to be really made
yeah.
and talked about.
Yeah. I think a lot of people do, especially like millennials and Gen Zers, I think a lot of us do feel like little glimpses of like what a full-blown depression might feel like.
Yeah.
Like, ugh, this sucks. Like, this is never going to get better. But I would say there's a pretty big difference between that and feeling like you're actually in a depression or like you're like having depressive episodes
yeah.
where you are unable to see any hope at all in your life. And I've been there and... it's really hard, but I think that now, thankfully, I of course have moments where I'm like, this sucks. How is this ever going to get better? Like, ugh. But I wouldn't describe myself as depressed because I haven't felt the way that I felt senior year since then.
Yeah.
So they are completely different things, and I'm glad we're like distinguishing the two. I mean, yeah, life can be hard, and like we're all in this together, to quote High School Musical. But, you know, if you do feel like you have spoken to a therapist and they were like, you know what, like we can diagnose this, then just know that from people that have experienced it, like there are ways out and it will get better.
It will. I also think we're definitely going to have episodes in the future talking about how to find therapists because we have been
mm-hmm.
talking a lot about this and it's important that you find good people because I think like while they can be such a help, just like any industry, there's people that might not be so helpful to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's really important to talk about. But
I also just want to add that like whether or not you can relate to this podcast episode.
Who can relate? Logic voice.
That was in one of our captions.
You're welcome.
But no, you're welcome. I did that part.
We're welcome.
Yeah.
It's a team effort.
Always, always, truly. Like when you're DMing us guys, like
it's a team effort.
We will both be responding to you. Like Liz says like, hey, what's up? And then like a second later, I'm like, hey,
thank you so much.
Yeah, no. Okay, so one thing I really do want to make clear is that like whether or not you can relate to anything that we just said,
sorry,
it was a good opportunity. Whether or not you can
if this resonates with you.
If this resonates with you at all, or if it doesn't, it's really important to know that none of this stuff defines you. And in fact, personally, I've learned that my anxiety and my depression has honestly made me better. And like, I am so much better than before. No, but really, like,
go on.
It really has, like, made me so much more empathetic to other people.
Yep.
It's made me a better person. It's made me kinder to the people around me, more understanding. Wow, I'm amazing.
Well, you're the best.
I'm so great.
Damn, bitch.
But like, it's true. Like, I don't want anyone to think that these experiences, if you're feeling like you have anxiety or you're just anxious or you are depressed or you're just sad, like, it doesn't define you. It doesn't make you less of a person. It doesn't mean you have this like big flaw hanging over your head. Mm-hmm. It's just something else you're going through, just like the guy that broke his knee. You know what I mean? Yeah. Injured his, what's it called? The ACL? What was that?
Yeah, tore his ACL.
Tore his ACL.
Classic athlete injury.
Yeah,
I know nothing
it's
about.
The same, which is why I forgot. I was going to say TCL. It's just like
GTL, gym tan laundry.
It's something else you're dealing with.
Yeah.
And it makes you you. And honestly, embrace it. We're trying to embrace it.
Totally.
And
I think also what you're talking about with an injury is really important. You use medication to heal an injured knee, like you sometimes use medication to heal an injured mind.
Yes.
Or to heal a mind that isn't working properly. Mm-hmm. A lot of people take people with diabetes take insulin because like the chemical is not working properly in their body. And you don't think of that person as defined, like their whole life has to be wrapped up in diabetes. It's a part of them and it actually probably makes them stronger. But just like with people with anxiety and depression, mm-hmm. medications can help them.
No, but it's true. I really do want people to, I really hope that people start viewing medication as less of a scary thing and more of like, you know how they say in those like commercials, they're like, if you feel like you might need this, speak to a doctor about it.
Yeah.
Like, if you feel like you might need this, go tell a doctor and be like, do I need this? Like, what, can we talk about this? Because, you know, that's the best way, that's the best way to handle it. If someone was walking around with like a physical injury and they were just like not taking care of it, you'd be like, dude, like, go
and
can you get some crutches? And you'd be like, no, I'm fine. I'm just gonna deal with it. It's like, wait, what? Like, you could be making your life so much better.
Totally.
What? And like, I didn't go to the doctor because I don't feel like I just.
There's too much of a stigma around it.
Yeah.
Totally.
It's like, wait, well, I go to your doctor, like, crutches might be.
Like, go to your doctor literally right now. Like, are you going to be okay?
Go to your doctor, ask if you need it, because being on crutches might be exactly what you need to get the best knee ever.
Best knee ever.
If you don't go on crutches, you're just going to stay injured. And it's like, you want to be living your best life.
I'm sorry, I get so loud because I was like, how can I make that a song? I was like, we dance all night to the best me.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
And like, to quote One Direction, like, that's what makes you beautiful. You know?
You're insecure. I don't know what for.
But you might. Your doctor might.
Like, where is she going with this? Okay.
Your therapist might. Call
1-800-THERAPY.
At therapy. Who got that?
Maybe Talkspace. I don't know. Sponsor us.
That would be so sick. Hey, Talkspace.
Hey, at Talkspace.
Hey, at Talkspace.
How much do they have to pay for at Talkspace?
Hey, at Talkspace.
Shout out at Zoloft,
at
Debbie.
Yoga, at Debbie, at all of the mental health, like, trust us, we're not doing this podcast for the money. Trust. But, like, it would be nice.
Like, we're trying to break down stigmas, but also, like, we're using our time. So, like,
it's currently 9:44 p.m. Like, you know, this is a side hustle, and no one wants a free side hustle.
And you know how podcasts always say, like, they're like, they're like, we want to keep this free for you guys, so like, this is what we have to do.
I'm sorry.
Well,
I don't know if you guys know, but
we have a producer.
We have a momager. She also was not paid. This is an internship.
Sponsor us.
Oh, if anyone out there is listening and wants a free internship for college credit, that like, we won't be able to give you the college credit.
But you can
like,
try.
You can definitely put it on your resume. If you're interested in editing audio, please hit us up because this takes hours and hours and hours. And sometimes we really don't feel like staying up until 2 a.m. after our day-long jobs. Day-long?
All the live-long day-long jobs.
Sometimes after our 9 to 5, which is actually like an 8 to 7.
Yeah.
You don't want to go home, record a podcast.
And then edit it.
And then edit it until midnight and then listen to it for 2 hours.
It's tough.
To decide if your voice sounds good. So listen, if you're interested in an audio job, That's free. Once again, that's free. Please hit us.
We literally can't pay you. Sorry.
I barely can pay rent, so like, you're not getting money from this.
Okay.
Once again, disclaimer, you will not get paid.
Like, so hard. Like, you might have to pay us.
You're in the mood to, like, give up your time and, like, free time and, like,
make yourself more anxious.
Maybe text us, like, all day, every day, and, like, maybe DM us, like, every little quote that
also,
you see that's nice.
Text us and tell us we're pretty, like, 12 times
a day.
Oh, yeah,
tell us we're, like, skinny.
Because we're trying to break down stigmas, but also, like, girls like being told that they're pretty sometimes.
And also, like, we need the encouragement to keep going because, like, this is hard, you know? So, listen, if you are in the job market for everything that we just said, please
hit us up. At It's Fine, I'm Fine, But. We quickly want to introduce our producer.
Slash momager.
Slash photographer.
Slash Kris Jenner to our It's Fine, I'm Fine pod.
And when we make money, we will give her 10%.
The Kris to our Kylie.
The Kris to our Kim and Kylie. Wow.
Sorry. I'm so sorry. The Kris to our Kim and Kylie. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, you have to include both of us. Good catch. This is Alana. Alana, I'm going to let you speak really briefly, and we can choose to keep this or not.
Ooh.
Come talk.
She gets a cameo.
Is it like a Q&A?
Cameo.com. Hey, it's
fine. Sponsor us, cameo.
Wow. I really feel like Kris Jenner, like, making a special appearance.
How cute does she sound? She sounds so cute on the pod.
Oh, my God.
You sound way cuter on the pod than you do on day-to-day life.
Oh, thanks, I think.
Alana is friend of pod.
Yeah, this has been so fun being behind the scenes.
You don't have to talk like that closely into it.
Oh.
No, like you don't need to be.
I'm new at this. This is my first rodeo at the podcast game. But yeah, this has just been awesome. Sarah and Liz are my besties, but also my clients that don't pay me.
I'm going to take this opportunity to say, I quit.
And I'm out. No.
She's calling the Better Business Bureau.
You know, yeah. One day, you know, I know we'll all be making the big bucks.
The moral of the story is that medication is really not as scary as it may sound. And if you feel as though it might be right for you, please consult a doctor because we've done it and it's really helped us.
Absolutely. Thank you all so much for listening. It means so much to us. And the fact that you're supporting us has allowed us to support you, and I hope that we've helped a lot of people with this podcast and we can continue to help more people. So Remember to subscribe, rate, and review. Follow us at It's Fine, I'm Fine Pod on Instagram. Follow me at Liz Height. Follow my co-host Sarah.
At Sarah L. Sassone. That's S-A-S-S-O-N, like Nancy.
I can't wait till you get at Sassone. Do you know who has at Sassone? You could do that.
No,
that'd be cool.
Ideally, I would just have
at SAS. Oh my God.
Trust me, I've looked it up. But that would be the ideal thing. I wonder how much I would need to pay them, though.
The person who has at Liz, like, I know it's annoying because I know so many people DM her being like, can I have at Liz? But like.
Oh, really? I really want to just hammer home how much this means to Liz and I. This podcast is really all about helping others.
Yeah.
And
helping ourselves.
And helping ourselves. This has been really therapeutic even just for us to talk about. And, you know, getting a message, even if it's just like a thank you or this helped me conquer my Monday, which we've gotten. And it's honestly like tears have been shed.
And it helps us conquer our Mondays.
Yes.
So thank you for sharing
those. It's very moving and it's very touching and we're just very thankful. So thank
you
all so much. We love you guys. And with that... It's fine. I'm fine.
It's fine. I'm fine. We just high-fived.